B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz resetting some of our other things. Celtics-Bucks tonight. We got Maz and Murray, Celtics doubters. They're dubious of the Celtics' chances this year. I think they're going to be pretty good. I think they're going to contend in the East. I think they're going to give the Bucks a run for their money, if not flat out beat them. Okay, is what I think. So I asked you before, the Celtics had a wretched opening night. That scared me, I'll be honest. That did scare me in Philadelphia. But then they had a nice win at home against Toronto and then blew doors on the Knicks the next night. That did nothing to move the needle for you, Maz?
Nope.
Straighten out a little bit?
No, it hasn't. I'm sorry. Again, you would move the needle if you could show me something tonight.
Okay.
So now, I need to see it again. They faced this team in the playoffs last year, and they get their faces kicked in. So let's see them play better against this team with the new Celtics.
And you've heard this news that Brown's not playing tonight.
Yes,
right?
I'm curious about that.
Illness,
but
so.
That's too bad. So, I wonder about that because I still think their rotations and minutes, and I think culling the herd might help in some way.
Yeah, too many guys have been playing. So
there's too many guys. Stevens plays too many freaking guys. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think at the early part of the year, he's searching. But at the end of the day, how many really good players do they have? I mean,
this is my problem. He plays too many guys that shouldn't be playing.
Well,
probably.
Right. So, but this is not one of the guys you would take out.
No, that's
is my point. Like that, but it's him, it's Tatum, Smart, if you count him, Hayward, and Kemba. That's it.
Yeah. And without a real big and with Cantor out right now, he is searching. So they might have something with this Grant Williams, who in the last couple of games has showed me he's like a bigger Marcus Smart in terms of intensity. And he's, willing to throw his body around. So I wouldn't be shocked if he got some minutes tonight against Giannis. I'd be curious to see how they're going to try to stop him. But overall, in these last couple of games, more the game on Friday night against Toronto, I felt a little bit better about him because that opening night was gross.
Yep. Gross. And so I think they straightened out. And let's see tonight. I still think the Bucks are vulnerable. I think they're an imperfect number one seed. I think Giannis is an overrated MVP. I think, and again, overrated doesn't mean suck. I think that eventually he'll get there, and he's got great makeup and compete and work ethic and all of that. So ultimately, I think he will get there. It may not be for the Bucks, but he will get there. But as it stands right now, I didn't even realize he still sucks from the line.
53.6%.
Something crept into his head last year during the playoffs and took a crap in it. Someone took a dump in his head, and it's still not out.
I mean, if I were the Bucks, I'd be worried about that.
Because he used to be a pretty good free throw shooter, and at some point it left him, and he still hasn't gotten it back, which changed his game the deeper he got in the playoffs. It really affected them. Never mind that he has no mid-range game. He'll chuck a three and make them. So he does have that, but he has no mid-range game, and I think, well, as I asked you before, where does he rank in your top five players in the game? If I ask you for the top five players in the game, where does he rank?
I got him fourth.
Your order is?
Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis, and Anthony Davis.
And I got him second. The reigning MVP thing still matters to me. I think you're still kind of underrating him. So I have Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, Karl Anthony Towns, because I'm basing it just on these three games so far this season, Anthony Davis, then LeBron.
Okay, I think putting Towns in there is nuts. Jimmy has it too, though, so what the hell do I know?
I have Towns fifth. I have Giannis sixth.
So Giannis, I have fifth. Kawhi Leonard one, Durant two, LeBron James three, Steph Curry four, Giannis five. And all those other guys I just mentioned, Leonard, Durant, James, Curry, 2 minutes, I'm sorry, 10 seconds left, down two in the half court, side out. You give them all the ball and they take the last shot. Giannis, it doesn't really work that way with him. I mean, they try it sometimes and he loses the handle. He has no sort of, he can't really beat you off the dribble from the half court when he's out on the wing. It's not really what he does. In the open court, on a fast break, forget about it. Story over. And if he gets the ball inside, you're in trouble. But if he's got it out on the wing,
you got to set up a play, something like that. Yeah.
It's just, he's not that guy and he's not going to take a mid-range shot. And so I think that's a big factor with him. And when you get into the playoffs with these tight games, so I don't think he's there yet. His game is not there yet. But be that as it may, they are still the favorite in the East, and let's see what you got against them tonight. Let's see.
I mean, it's a big night for them in terms of early returns, early reviews.
We also talked earlier about, since these guys put Karl Anthony Towns in their top five, get ready for the next great white whale, for the next great hope for Danny Ainge. We talked 2 years about Anthony Davis, 2+ years about luring that guy to Boston. All we had to hear every other day, Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis. Get ready for the new Anthony Davis. Carl Anthony Towns, another Kentucky big guy.
It's going to happen all the time.
That Danny lusts after.
I do like him, though. I love his offensive game. It's hard to find big guys that have that kind of skill.
And you think, Maz, again, as it relates to Giannis, they have to get someone like that because they have no one to match up going
forward. I just think it's a long-term problem now. Now, look, I suppose there's every chance that he ends up in the other conference, but that became apparent during the playoffs last year. They could not handle him. They couldn't handle him. And look, he's a hard guy to handle for anybody, but can you put someone there who can challenge him a little bit? That's a big, big problem. If you're going to win the East here in the coming years with Tatum and Brown and those guys, you got to deal with the freak. You got to get someone. I'd put the French Tickler out there tonight just to see what he could do.
Can you please tell people who you're referring to again like that again?
Vincent Poirier, the guy they picked up from France. I'd give him a shot. He's 7 feet. He's big bodied. I don't care how many freaking fouls he gets. I would absolutely take my chance with Vincent Poirier.
I didn't watch any of the Knicks games, so I don't know if he got minutes there, but he hasn't played. So
no, he hasn't.
Yeah. So then for me, it's a combination of Ojale, Smart, Williams. I would have said Jaylen Brown, but he's not playing.
They were saving him for the freak, Murray.
You know who people are going to want and who, again,
when the
simulcast was up, Vinny even did it. He put that picture of Taco Fall up there. You mean where people are going to want Fall underneath the basket tonight?
Yeah, it's Taco Wednesday.
Taco will fall over trying to chase this guy around. He can't keep up with Giannis. I told you, Poirier's bio that I read to you earlier. Oh, God, do I love this. Height, 7 feet. Weight, 235. Status, active, experience, rookie. Hometown, France. Apparently, he's one of the Coneheads, Murray. Yeah. He's from France.
Such like, a dated reference.
Can you give me Paris? You know, give me Bordeaux? Give me, which is even a region, but give me something.
Yeah.
France.
Nice. Yeah. Give me something. France. So anyway, we'll see how that plays out. Okay, you want to follow up on the Kyrie Irving story on ESPN.com? You can do that. We also have this. Your thoughts on the interference call at first base last night in the World Series, Maz?
Horrendous. Absolutely positively horrendous. Bailout call for the Astros. No way you can make that call on that play. No way.
Okay, and do you think Major League Baseball should have stepped in? And what I mean by that is, they went to replay, but they couldn't review it because it's a judgment call. But they were still on the headset while they were on the headset. And Joe Torre was there, too. At some point, should someone have gone to the umpires and said, guys, you can't officially review this. We're not officially overturning it. But get together and call him safe. That's a ridiculous call. Should Major League Baseball have stepped in and changed that call?
Yes. Yeah, again, now look, you know, the play's not reviewable. So if he puts a headset on, then comes out and says safe.
Right, so you got to play.
You got to fudge it.
Right.
You got to fudge it. You got to then let the umpires get together and congregate and come to a conclusion and say, no, we're going to change it because of this. To me, that call was so bad in a World Series clinching game. World Series clinching game, you make that call?
Over-officious?
Oh, my gosh, way over-officious.
Was it technically, though, illegal?
Yeah, again, if you go by the letter of the law, technically, I guess it's interference. But I look at it and say, well, wait a minute. Again, by the letter of the law, 56 miles an hour is speeding. Are we really doing that? Or do you have a little latitude? It was a bad throw. So I would like to think you have the latitude to say, did the runner change the play or did the pitcher make a bad throw?
I'm annoyed by all the hardcore baseball people defending this. Even our own Matt McCarthy. Matt should know better.
Well, by the letter of the law, that is the rule. You know, you can't argue it.
Yes, you can. You shouldn't call that in a game of that magnitude.
Oh, it was a bad throw. Bad, bad throw. I think it was Peacock on the mound at the time,
yes.
Right? That was a bad throw. I look at that and say, that's basic. When there's a bunt in front of the plate, okay, and the catcher comes out to field it to throw to first, what does he do? He steps in to avoid the runner. That's what he does. He steps in, the second baseman stretches to the second base side, or if the first baseman, if he holds down there, and they chuck the ball down there. That's the play. They all know there's a runner going there. You can't just whip it into his back. It's like, that was just asinine. To call that there was, now again, if the runner was 2 feet to his left, 3 feet to his left, okay, then we have something to talk about. He was running straight through the bag. It was so bad. It was horrendous. As bad as I've seen in a spot like that. That is such a bad call.
Okay, good sports night tonight. I'm sorry. I'm watching Celtics Bucks.
Oh, me too. I'll get to the baseball game.
Exactly. The beauty is we'll be able to watch the full Celtics Bucks game, flip over to the baseball, and it'll be about the third, fourth inning.
Yeah.
Perfect. They'll be on their third or fourth pitching change, and you can watch the second half of the ball game. And because even game seven, 4 hours is asking a lot.
Oh, my gosh. My hope is that it's tight going into the seventh.
Right, of course.
Right, that's what I want. The first six innings, do on your own time. I don't care. See, I treat baseball now like NBA games. I really do. Like, show me the final quarter. And the rest of it, I really don't care about.
One final item. Give me 60 seconds on the Bruins. Can I start?
Go.
They're in one of these stretches where they look so good, I don't recognize them. And I know they've been like this since Cassidy took over, but some of their scoring is so beautiful. Some of their play is so, I mean, they're skating circles around some of these teams, skating circles around them. And I think their start's been impressive. I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting a hangover. They had a real tough schedule. They start out west. They play a lot of good teams. And the worry was that between the hangover of the Game 7 loss, the tough schedule, they start out way behind, then have to scrap their ass off through November, December, January just to climb back into the playoffs. And by that time, they're spent because of all the hockey they had to play last year, and you're looking at a lost season. So step one is in the books. They got off to a great start. They've been the best team in hockey over the first month. Only team in hockey with one regulation loss. And so now what's driving that? Murray, you think they're motivated by Game 7 last year?
I do, because I'm like you. I thought they were going to get off to a horrific start. Because even in the preseason, some of the stuff coming out of the locker room was like, oh, God, they're not over it, and it's in a bad way. And if anything, it's been the complete opposite. They seem motivated to right the wrong. And Rask has been playing ridiculous. Now, would I trust him in a Game 7 at home again in the Stanley Cup Final? Of course not. No, but for now, hell of a start, and hopefully they can keep it rolling.
I mean, I didn't see this coming. I thought they were going to have trouble. They get the best goal differential in the league. They get the best record in the league. Washington has more points by one, but they've played two more games.
And if you watch them,
they've been dynamite.
Tremendous.
I mean, they have. They've been dynamite.
So
the Bruins have skill.
So, are you on a mission from last year? Are you on a mission?
Too early to say.
Let's see.
Wait till the dog days get here.
Let's see.
Too early.
Let's see. Okay.
I like what I see.
Step one is in the books. It's the only chance they have is if they're on a mission. Only chance they have. And so we'll see how that plays out. But the first month is in the books, and I'm kind of impressed. But what does it mean? October means absolutely nothing. At this point last year, the eventual Stanley Cup champion was on their way to last place and firing the coach. You can tell that San Jose team looks like they're absolutely cash, right? You can't tell anything in hockey. It's part of the beauty of it.
They do look kind of old, though.
And then they're a mess. Yeah. Just like St. Louis was at this time of year.
The coach is toast.
Well, so was the St. Louis.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. How did that work out for him? He's going to get fired, though. He's not going to make it.
Okay, so there's your reset on everything. Your calls on everything right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Tyre, no good. Long rebound. Marcus Smart comes up with it. Finds Horford down low. Pump fake on Giannis, and Giannis just slots the thing into the front row. Giannis going to pull up, shoot a three over Horford. Swish.
Some things you got to give up.
Here comes Giannis driving, spinning, slamming.
Oh, that was nasty.
Giannis drive, spins, big time flush with the right hand, scored, and the foul, and the NBA's best player playing for the NBA's best team just puts an exclamation point on the biggest playoff weekend for the Milwaukee Bucks in decades.
So that's the last time you saw Giannis in the playoffs last year. We'll see what the Bucks have in store tonight, what the Celtics have. Again, I think they have a chance to make it interesting this year. I do. So we'll see. Here's step one. All right, back to your phones on everything. Patriots, the baseball play, Celtics, Bruins, whatever you want. Mike in Shrewsbury on Nick Folk. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, guys. How you doing? How the folk you doing?
Listen, good.
I just got to say one thing. I don't know who Belichick's scout team is, but, you know, there's a kid that kicked at Assumption College. And Maz, don't cut me off on this one.
We just hear about it. Mike, we hear it all the time. The guy at LSU, we hear it all the time.
That's the guy.
Okay, but you don't think Bill knows about it?
He's got a leg, brother.
Okay, I understand, bro. But, like, what? I mean, call Bill.
Well, I can't. Well, I could. I've got a contact over there, but I can't now. But,
All right.
Just give him a shot. The kid's a young kid. He'll do it. He'll
okay.
bring it.
Mike, where is he now?
He's home. He's in California.
So he graduated LSU last year.
He did, and he was a Lou Groser Award finalist. He set seven school records.
Okay. You related to him?
I got you. I mean, he might be. There's whatever the kid's name.
Cole Tracy.
The Cole Tracy callers. They're relentless, constantly. Yeah, what about this guy from LSU? He went to a sum. He's a Worcester kid.
Yeah, he's from Worcester.
Nonstop Cole Tracy calls.
I think they live just over the Shrewsbury line.
But let me tell you what. I'd rather have Cole Tracy. Maybe I'll get on that train with you guys. I'd rather have Cole Tracy than Nick Folking Folk. Nick Folk.
Nick what the Folk?
This is what I said earlier. I said again, like, I feel like on this particular thing, Bill, I'm just so surprised he doesn't have a different idea, a better idea, ahead of the curve, something in reserve. You know what I mean? When he needs a kicker, he just takes whatever bleep bum is on the street like any other team.
Yep.
Like anyone could say, oh, we need a kicker. Is Folk still around?
Proof that the whole kicking thing can go completely awry when you lose your guy.
All right. Our kicker's hurt. Is that Shane Graham available? Yeah. All right. Bring him in. I've heard of him. Oh, our kicker got hurt again. You need somebody? Yeah. Is Nugent around? Yeah, Nugent's still available. All right, bring him in. Like, he's making moves that the Bears would make.
So Paul said an interesting thing earlier, Paul Perillo of Patriots Football Week, Patriots.com. Sorry, old habits. But, you know, that Bill likes to put an emphasis on guys who kick in the cold.
But there's a million of those guys.
Well, there are. Again, so, but I also think that he looks at that job and he says, who am I kidding? There's a million guys that can kick the ball freaking 80 yards. There are a million guys that can do that. How many of them can do it with a minute and a half left from 47 to win the game? And there aren't many, so he'll take the veteran guy. The logic to me is not flawed.
It's clear that he prefers the name veteran guys.
And if Cole Tracy was from Topeka, nobody would give a rat's ass.
Of course.
So the fact that he's from here, all of a sudden, like, assumption is, like, this is a big deal to me?
He's not my guy. I'll take him. Cole Tracy. I hope I remember the name.
Good God.
I'm sick of these retreads. Nick Folk hasn't kicked in the league in 2 years. That's absurd.
Yeah, but he was in the AAF.
You think that's the best you can do? Bill in Rhode Island, your thoughts on the play at first base last night?
Yeah, how you guys doing? My thought here is I was listening to Smoltz talk about that play after it was over. And he said that those guys are actually taught to throw the ball to that spot if they know they're not going to get that guy and hope for the call on that crappy rule. And if you watch Gurriel over there at first base, he totally sold the glove coming off. He's a Major League Baseball player. What kind of guy plays in the Major Leagues in the World Series and puts your hand there like you're going to catch it past the guy?
Let me ask you.
Total sell job.
Was he going to be safe?
Yes, he was going to be safe.
He was going to beat the throw.
Yes, he was. They showed the replay. He was safe. He beat the throw. Again, further reason why the call was completely asinine. It was a bailout call. And I heard Smoltz say that during the game, too. And I would say to him, so you're going to risk throwing the ball in the right field and giving away two bases in a 3-2 game with the World Series on the line?
That's kind of, high pressure conniving. Like, bang, bang, in the moment, World Series on the line, you're going to think, I'm not going to get him. I know I'm not going to get him, but if I throw it just over the base as he's stepping on the base and my first baseman drops his glove, we can buy a call. Like, they all thought that in the moment?
I told you, it's like chucking it up looking for a PI late in the game.
Do you think they actually did that?
So that's what Smoltz says, and I would say to Smoltz, well, if they're teaching that, that's dumb.
Wow.
Because to me, a lot. Again, I use the simple basic thing. Get the out. Make the play. If the on a bunt in front of the plate, the catcher comes out and fields it. Does he get back in the first baseline and throw it in the runner's back on a close play, or does he step to the inside and try to throw the guy out?
Of course.
I mean, this idea of the interference, there was no interference on that play. The defense screwed it up.
Tom and Quincy, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, I just have a question. These comments that this kid Boyle made from the Ravens, right? I know they're not egregious. They're not really inflammatory. They're just kind of enough to just needle the Patriots. But why needle the Patriots?
I don't know.
Teams do this every year. Do you remember going back to, like, Ryan Clark and those guys where, like, he made a comment and Brady threw at him, like, 15 times? It's like, why do you call yourself out? And, like, no offense to Nick Boyle. I don't really know much about him. I looked him up real quick while I was waiting. He's got 12 catches. So for someone to come out and go, they've never seen an offense like ours, dude, you have 12 catches in seven games. Like, what are you doing?
What did he say?
Here's the quote right here. He said it via ESPN. We'll see how good they are once we play them. I don't think they've seen anyone like our offense or like Lamar. They're a good team, and we'll need to bring our A game. How incendiary.
The whole we never even mentioned last week on purpose the – who said something the week before?
Jarvis Landry.
I am so bored to tears of the Patriots bulletin board material. I think it is so beyond childish and so – like, are these players 12 years old? Are they morons? Like – and every year when you win the Super Bowl, the Do Your Job special and the NFL Network special is the same thing. Clips of Rob Parker and Max Kellerman, and no one thought we could do it. And Felger and Maz said this, and blah, and it's like...
It's just fuel for the black community.
Oh, my God. It's just so, like, played out. Can we play a different record? Can we come up with something else? But look...
Play the hits.
It works for the team, obviously. Bill plays the hits. He gets these players to you know, oh, did you hear what they said about you? Yeah, did you hear what he said about us, guys? Let's get him! Yeah, how do you like us now? Like, it's just over and over and over again. And I feel like you just have to do that story on your own time. Bill gets those guys to be motivated by it, which is great. Neat little trick. Do it on your own. I can't play into it. All this guy said is we've got a good offense. Let's see how they look against us. I mean, it's really nothing, but they'll turn it into something. They'll probably use it to their advantage. And then after they win the Super Bowl, the Do Your Job special, we'll get this. What's the guy's name? Boyle. He'll be made to look like some sort of jackass in the special. It'll be the same thing year after year. They'll splice it with a comment from Rob Parker, like, will you all get bent out of shape about these guys? It is a broken freaking record.
I happen to think he might be right.
Yeah. Like, Nick Boyle.
The 2019 Patriots, well, they really haven't seen any kind of offense that can, A, move the ball, and B, hold on to it. Like, they haven't seen that yet. So I would agree that they haven't seen an offense like Baltimore's yet.
But, oh, you're not supposed to say it.
Yeah, he's a boil on my ass.
So, I mean,
you brought my blood to a boil.
We've seen it before. Wrap it up with your wonderful phone calls after Murray's update. Guess who landed on the injury report today?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
That's a tough play for Peacock. And safe at first. Ball gets away. And the runners will advance to second and third. And now they're going to call the runner out for being inside the line and in the way of the throw. And we're going to get an argument now as Dave Martinez is furious.
Hey, he's right there. Just ask him.
That's why the crowd is right reacting there. That way for the delay. You can see what Trey Turner's saying. Joe Torre is right here. Just ask
Joe
him.
Torre's sitting with his head down trying not to look up.
And they're going to stick with the call. Sway Turner can't believe it. And like you said, he's going down the line. His last steps. I may have overstated earlier with regard to him being on the grass. But for the most part, I mean, you see runners way more inside the line than this.
Okay, that sets up game seven tonight. Who do you like, Ness?
I like the Nationals tonight. And again, Houston's favored. Houston's got the better. Washington's got the better pitcher on the mound in Scherzer, but that's not the reason I'm picking them. I just think that there's something about this Nationals team that they're impossible to kill. So you go back to the play-in game against the Brewers. They pulled that one out late. The division series, they That one was the Dodgers, right? They pulled that one out late against the Dodgers. Then the Cardinals, they completely owned. But last night, again, on the ropes, looks like they're going to get knocked out. They hit two home runs. They have a bad call go against them. They come back and win the game. It just feels to me like their year. I feel like they got that thing this year. To me, I'm going Washington.
Yeah, and if you just go back to the season of where they were, they've been essentially playing playoff games, because that was sort of a competitive division. Even the Mets were in it for a little while. They've been playing playoff games since like mid-May. So, I don't know. They've got the mojo. I didn't think they were going to win last night. I felt, you know, if they were able to win that game, they'd win Game 7.
I mean, I'll tell you, that Rendon, he's a player. Boy, is he good. I didn't realize he was that good. And what I would love to see tonight, I don't know if it'll happen, you know, but they get in a situation where they can win the game and Strasburg comes running out of that bullpen a la Madison Bumgarner, you know, starts Game 6, goes 8 innings, comes out and pitches in Game 7 out of the pen. Oh, I would love to see that because he has been absolutely dynamite.
I like the kid Soto.
Yeah.
Did you like the bat thing? I thought I got a kick out of that.
I think Bregman's a tool. And I'm not one of these old stogies.
He's a hard ass.
He is. He's total hardo. He pulled the same crap at the Red Sox. You know, it's always this.
Yep.
He loves to flap his gums, which is fine. He's entertaining. But, you know, he did it against the Red Sox, and then Eovaldi sat his ass down with a 102-mile-an-hour fastball. So, he wants to do it. Fine. Again, I'm not offended by it, but then I love what Soto did to answer.
So, again, if I'm Houston, you better win. You're the much better club. Much better club. You've won 100 games, three straight years. You're the best team of this, you know, generation. If you're best, you know, team of this little decade. I mean, I don't know how to exactly frame
sure.
that.
But yeah, this is their era.
You're the best team of this time, whatever you want to, you know, qualify that as. You've got a much better roster. You're a much better team. You better win this. You better win it. Okay, your thoughts on that. And oh, by the way, programming note, off-air show returns tonight. Felger and Maz off-air show with myself and a bankroll boy. I believe it's going to be Joe Murray, but it might be Lifshatz as well. So they'll.
I believe it's both.
Oh!
Oh, Felger sandwich.
We got a heavyweight duo. We got a heavyweight. A
lot of facilitating and deferring there.
I will be facilitating my nuts off tonight between the bankroll boys. They'll handicap tonight's Game 7. They'll handicap the Celtics tonight. All that stuff.
Those are a couple of big rolls.
Facebook Live. Facebook Live, 6 p.m. sharp, presented by Ace Ticket. Join us for that. Why don't you? To your calls.
Big boys.
To your calls is promised. Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I kind of joked about this a couple weeks ago, and I'm a little bit surprised that there's not more talk about it. But the 49ers and the Patriots are both still undefeated. If they end up meeting in the Super Bowl, is Bill satisfied enough seeing his guy get there, or is the fix in he's gonna sit Gilmore? And
so you're saying Bill's gonna purposely tank the game to prove that Jimmy Garoppolo's
see,
the guy.
See Gilmore crying on the sideline. It's just gonna be another 365 days following of why did he sit Gilmore? Oh, I think we know why.
Just Garoppolo getting there will prove Bill's point.
Oh, will it ever? Can you imagine Bill answering the questions that week?
Like a beaming. Garoppolo does not need to win the game to prove that he's a championship caliber quarterback.
Always believed in you, Mike King.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, seriously, it will be a Bill orgy at the Super Bowl. That's what that thing will hold. It'll be one big session to Bill.
If Garoppolo can get to the Super Bowl with the Niners and Kyle Shanahan, what do you think he would have done with the Patriots and Bill Belichick? It would have been proven whether no matter what happens in that game.
Can you imagine how badly Brady will want to win that game?
I'd have to eat a lot of crow.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
George in Medford on the first base play. Hi, George.
How's it going? Just give me a minute here. I want to make a couple of comparisons.
30 seconds, George.
Okay. Well, in any sport, everyone keeps complaining about replay and they want all the umpires and refs to do their job. And Brady had that same obscure rule with the tuck rule. And it's also obscure in real life if you spit on the sidewalk or jaywalk.
Yeah.
Some people get them obscure things, but Brady had it with the tuck rule. No one complained then.
Okay, so I just wouldn't compare last night to the tuck rule. I don't really see the parallel. I feel something that's creeping up in sports is not just replay, but just being over-officious. Over-officious ticky-tack calls. There's always a new rule, a new emphasis, a new thing. There's always a ref somewhere, whether it's through replay or not, sticking their nose in there instead of just letting them play. And that's what you had last night.
Okay, so I think I know where he was going. Here's what I would say. Was that a fumble in the tuck rule game? To you, was it a fumble?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Patriots caught a break. Was last night interference? No way.
No.
Astros caught a break. Okay, so look, sometimes they get them wrong and somebody benefits.
I mean, you know what you just did here, though? You know, it's a, by the rule, it was a fumble, Maz.
No, by the rule, it wasn't. But
by the rule, it was. By the rule, it was. And they've since, it was such a bad rule, they've rescinded the rule. The tuck rule no longer exists. So they did away with it.
Right, by the rule at the time, it was not a fumble.
No, the rule at the time, it was. They got the call right.
On the field.
Right, they ruled it not a fumble.
What are you saying to me?
I'm saying that
they ultimately got the call right on replay. It was a fumble.
No, it was not a fumble.
It was ruled an incomplete pass.
Oh, so I'm saying the wrong thing.
Right.
I'm sorry. But they got the rule right. It was not a fumble.
Right, correct.
I'm sorry. What am I saying?
No, they got the rule right. But and I would say now
they've changed. My bad. That's one of the things you think I'm stroking out, right, Murray?
What the hell?
No, but I would say that when you look at that play, instinctively.
I guess that acid in college was not a good idea.
That's one of those plays that we all look at and we say, I don't care what the letter of the law is. That's a fumble. And so they've since changed it.
And now, the league ultimately agrees, right?
Right. And so last night to me, I look at it and say, I don't care what the rule is. That was not interference. And so I'm willing to bet that one somewhere along the line gets changed. I'm willing, because that thing last night was asinine.
He stepped on the base.
Holy crap, was that bad. Wow, was that bad.
Jay in the car, Pat's Ravens, thoughts?
Yeah, I was just thinking, have Jimmy linebacker cover on Andrews for a little bit, man. He's getting coverage. He's also beating my personal preference for NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So I wanted to get you guys' feedback on that.
Put who on Andrews, did he say?
Did he say Jimmy Collins?
Jimmy Collins.
So Collins on the tight end, I guess.
I don't want Collins in pass coverage.
I'm fine with that. The thing I'm not fine with is Jamie Collins shadowing Lamar Jackson. He's going to lose that.
He's not fast enough.
As fast and as athletic as Jamie Collins is, he can't keep up with him.
Lamar Jackson might be like one of the five fastest guys in the league.
He's Mike Vick.
Yeah, I mean, again, Tyreek Hill's on it like another planet when it comes to that. But this kid's not far off. He can fly. So to me, the way you do that, you just don't give space. Everybody's got to stay where they're supposed to be. Nobody moves. Stand in your spot. You don't rush the passer.
Exactly.
You don't create all this chaos, because once that happens, the structure breaks down and he will take off.
Jasper in Lowell on tonight's Celtics game. Go ahead, Jasper. What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. I'm just wondering if you guys think Robert Williams is underused, because I think the kid's a monster.
Okay, so should be a perfect game for him tonight. Like, again, no one can singularly match up with Giannis, but he should have some of the tools. Certainly long enough, athletic, can run the floor, etc.
Go ahead, Maz.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah, but I don't know how much the coach trusts him either, because he's being pulled later in games. So that tells you something. I don't know how much Stevens really trusts him right now, and I don't know whether it might be more offensively than anything else. Grant Williams is the guy to look for.
Is he big enough?
I don't know if he's tough enough, though. He's got like a little bulldog thing going on.
He's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's who would I compare him to?
He's a bigger Marcus Smart.
Yeah, kind of like Crowder was.
Yeah.
But even bigger than Crowder a little bit. So, and, you know, they're going to rotate guys at him. They're not going to have a single
guy. But Robert Williams should be a guy.
He
should be a quote-unquote secret weapon deployed strictly for Giannis. That should be the guy.
Yeah, he should be able to help him down there. I didn't consider Williams. That's a good one.
We've got Charlie in Plymouth on Pat's Ravens. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, I'll be quick. Patriots lead the NFL with 19 interceptions. Lamar Jackson versus Pittsburgh, 161 yards passing, 3 interceptions, 5 sacks, 70 yards on the ground. Look for the Patriots to match that. He's going down.
Here's what I agree. Here's what I think. I think we're going to show up on Monday, and we're going to say, people are going to watch that game, and they're going to come up on Monday, and they're calling and say, boy, does that Lamar Jackson suck? I think they're going to make him look like a suck bag quarterback who can't throw. Because the Patriots are just a team. We mentioned this before. They are the team, the best ever at, you do one thing well, they're going to take that away and make you beat them left-handed. If you want to beat us with your second or third thing, fine, go ahead. You will not beat us by doing your best thing or your most reliable thing. We're going to take that away.
Even the Vic era in the early 2000s, when he came into the league, they made him look like a fool.
They're going to take away Lamar Jackson on the runs and the scrambles, and they're going to make him beat them through the air, and he can't do it. I don't think he can do it.
So I think that's the way they're going to play it, too. The one variable to me is that Baltimore's had a lot of time off, and Harbaugh's smart. So nobody.
So what, he can teach Lamar Jackson to throw in 2 weeks?
No, but he can account for it and say, we're going to do this instead. And so if the Patriots are intent on taking away Lamar Jackson, does that make them vulnerable up the middle with Mark Ingram? I don't know. I'm just saying Harbaugh's smart enough to think it out. He, you know, again, the Harbaughs, the two of them, have had a reasonable amount of success against Belichick if you throw Jim's game in here.
They've had some, where a lot of guys have had none. This is where it is. I used to say he had a lot of success, but now it's just some. But that's still ahead of most guys, because most guys have none. Kyle in Charlton. Yes, Kyle.
How we doing, guys? Murray, I can see why they got you doing the erectile dysfunction commercials. It's because it's getting soft, but see, I'm a diehard Pats fan, but I'll always be Bill over Brady. Now, let me ask you two quick questions. I got 30 seconds. We were in on Trent Williams early in the year offering a first-round pick, right? They said no, and Monday they said they'll take a high offer on him, which I'm assuming is a first-round pick. Why did we not offer? Is that because the Brady speculations, or is that cap space? One more thing quick. With Bill saying he can coach you through his 70s, does that now change McDaniel's standpoint with the team and the Pats? And if Brady and Josh both go to the Chargers, you can guarantee I'm booing them, baby.
Okay, so.
Yeah, that's why I need 4hymns.com.
He's going soft.
Did you see the Chargers fired their offensive coordinator yesterday?
Yeah.
Ken Wisenhunt, too. So,
what does that mean?
Well, there's now an opening there for that position. So at least, you know, they're starting to set up.
Clear the decks for Brady and McDaniels.
Tom and Josh don't like each other. They aren't best friends.
So, oh, that's right.
This is Stu's intel on that. So I'll just pick out one thing that he said, which was what?
Trent Williams.
Trent Williams. So why would they be in on him before but not now? I don't know. Maybe enough's enough. Maybe they believe.
He failed his physical. Maybe they got another look at it and realized he was out of shape and, you know, was a mess.
Right. And so now you're coming in midstream. You didn't have a training camp. You haven't played. You're obviously not in shape. Now we're not going to give you a first-round pick. Forget it. You blew your chance. We offered it to you, you know, deep in camp when we could get him in on our terms and, you know, work him out and blah, 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 and you turned us down, so screw you. And I think that's my guess what happened there.
So just quickly, I looked it up. Under Harbaugh, they're 3-6 against Belichick. 7 of the games have been played in Foxborough, though. So there were only 2 games in Baltimore, 1-1.
That last one, they murdered him. 2013?
Yes, 41-7, correct. They absolutely destroyed him down there. But the large majority of the games... 30-23, 35-31. Right,
they've had a sniff.
31-30, 23-20, 23-20 in overtime. We all know what that one was.
He's won 3 of 9, so I would not say he's had a lot of success against you.
Most
coaches are 0-9, so he's had some.
He hangs in there.
Ish. Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Nass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nope.
Nobody.
Nobody. All right, a couple of things to get to here in the final word today, and talking about last night's Game 6 in the World Series. Maz, Drew, well, you got mad about Mark Teixeira, some of the things he had to say about that controversial play at first base.
That's Mark Teixeira. Your thoughts, Maz?
So Teixeira bugs the crap out of me on TV. I don't know what it is. Seriously. But, like, it's a good rule. No, it's not. The rule sucks. It's a stupid rule. The lane is in foul territory. The bag's in fair territory, so you can't run a straight line to first base. So it's going to take you longer in theory to get there because you can't go straight? That's stupid. I'm sorry. And Teixeira speaking as a first baseman. That's why he has that opinion, because guys used to get in my way. Oh, shut up. You know, when I heard them talking about this on TV last night, again, Teixeira was a good player. But the fact of the matter is, you look at a play like that, and I think Smoltz said during the broadcast, well, they teach you to throw it into the runner. Well, then if you don't get the call, screw you. No, the right play is to throw it inside of the runner and get the out. That's the right play. Why are you putting it in the hands of the umpires?
I also think the first baseman can stretch. The whole idea is to go get the ball. He just sort of stayed there.
So look,
if you will,
the one thing that Teixeira and I agree on there is that the call was horrendous. It was a bad throw. The ball tailed over to the grass side in foul territory. I mean, the ball's all the way over there. You're going to bail out the Astros like that? I can't tell you how. If they had lost that game last night because of that call, they never would have lived it down.
You hate him, huh?
You do.
Hate who?
Mark Teixeira.
On TV, I do. I loved him as a player until he got to the Yankees and he sucked. I don't know what the hell happened to him. On TV, something about him really bugs the crap out of me. I find him to be so pompous. Seriously, I don't know what it is.
Paul Perillo of Patriots.
I hate those guys.
Patriots.com also made his weekly appearance, which means the singing of Sunshine Day. And this one had a Halloween theme. Ooh. Halloween Eve. Let's
Here
do
we go.
It as a vampire.
I like it. I like it.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The moonlight is calling my name. I bite you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, get me some of that blood. Everybody's spooky.
Oh!
Frankenstein day.
Ah!
Everybody's dying. Ghastly day. Everybody seems spooky today.
Ooh.
Oh, what a scary day. Aboo. Hello. Oh, there's a lot of meat on those bones. Let me get a bite.
Here we go.
Poor Paul.
Wow.
I missed that the first time.
Always got to be
a good one.
Always a fat joke involved there.
Seriously, all we got to do is put an apple in his mouth.
All right, here comes Jones. What do you got, Adam?
Well, we got 1 hour leading up until the Celtics and Bucks. No Jaylen Brown for the Celtics tonight, so we'll see how that goes for them. Not a lot of high hopes here. We'll get to Kyrie Irving as well, and baseball, Game 7 tonight, little World Series action for you. And the stories in the World Series seem to be about, you know, pretty much everything but the actual game itself. Bat flips, boobs, Trump, awful calls. So we'll get to kind of a state of baseball here with a Game 7. Like, should be a pretty big story, right? Like, the game itself?
This field, this game, it's part of our past, Jones.
That it's bat flips, boobs, and Trump.
Reminds us of everything that once was good.
And awful calls.
And could be again.
Those boobs were perky, Ray.
All right, again, good luck.
They were real, Ray.
Good luck, Arcand, as always.
Thanks.
You too, Boston. Here comes Jones. 90 seconds, no commercials, and you get them. Join me right now for the off-air show on Facebook Live with the Bankroll Boys coming your way in just seconds. See you tomorrow, Maz.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.